The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy at 3 minutes past nine. It's Tuesday morning, the 13th of August. 2019, beautiful day in Dublin, Ireland. Hopefully something similar around the country. 51551 is the text number, and all emails will always be welcome. We got some particularly interesting ones in overnight to ryan at rte.ie. More of that anon. Here are some of the words that are being overused in the modern age that people want to see banned. I'm not sure if I feel as strongly about certain people, but there are these words. I'm not going to judge because there are people listening this morning who will use these words. And when they use these words, other people around them will recoil, or they'll shudder, or they'll throw their eyes to heaven, or they'll roll their eyes, or they'll simply turn away and say, I wish they wouldn't say that. What are these words? Well, it's from Adam Sharp, who's tweeting about the words that are kind of annoying people, such as cheeky. You're going to have a little cheeky glass of wine. That's beginning to annoy people a little bit. The word literally has been used so out of context now. It was literally like Noah's Ark. It wasn't. You were on the Stena Ferry. The boat moved a little left to the right. And it wasn't like anything like... So it literally is annoying people. Hollybobs is... that's really irritating people. Feels, you'll know. It's giving me feels. It's making me emotional. Bants. I'd use bants myself as in an ironic sense. I think some of these words are used ironically, which means that you climb aboard the banter bus, apparently. Another word that needs to be thrown into the dustbin of history. Hubby and wifey, if you're having that, you're having that. But they're not... Yeah. Anyway, when you post a picture or something like that and say, this one, this would be very popular. This one. You know what I'm talking about when you look up your Instagram, your Facebook, and it's this one. Fur babies for cats and dogs, really annoying people as well. And I'll leave it at that. That's just a selection of the words that are getting on people's nerves. So if you're a user of those words, you can either tell everyone to hell with yourselves, or you can adjust your behaviour to suit the tedium that those words are beginning to inspire. Because I just was finishing that Netflix documentary, The Great Hack, which was a very good story, very badly told. I would be not inclined to recommend you to sit down and suffer through the 2 hours of it. All you need for me really is to tell you that it's good. It's a good 3-star, maybe 2 stars out of 5. It's a long commitment, really, to be getting stuck into it. And it's a history lecture done by a history lecturer who doesn't really, he's not great at history. So it's a pity because they had good information, good access. But like all podcasts and most modern documentaries, it's 35 minutes too long and no one gets that yet. 90 minutes is just perfect. You don't need for a documentary. And 27 minutes or 24 minutes is perfect for a podcast. We don't need you to bang on. Find yourself a good editor. All right. Or a producer. And fix that, because it can be quite irritating. But The Great Hack really means... The takeaway for me as somebody who's not technical is that Facebook got all your information. I'm not on it, thank God. And they sold it off to somebody else. And those persons won elections for Brexit and Trump and other people around the world. Cambridge Analytica sort of. So if that's your bag, it's worth a look. If you're technically minded, I think you'll enjoy it. But if you can't get into the nitty gritty as much as others, then there's not much point to watching that, even though it's been kind of flogged by them. You know, like sometimes they push this and say, oh, everyone's watching this. You're going to go, oh, yeah, like a lemming. I'm going, okay, I'll watch it. And then I realise, God, please, could I have my 2 hours back? Thank you very much. I forgot to mention yesterday, because I was guffing on about other things. What was Enda Kenny doing on a boat with Bear Grylls, with William and Kate looking at him and handing them some sort of King George? And I was just watching, this is all very surreal, because we don't see much of Enda Kenny these days. In fairness, he's been very dignified in his departure from the stage and letting Leo take the, you know, the mantle, as it were. Touch of the good luck with that's about it, but it wasn't his fault. Off they go. But it was this big charity event, and I was kind of, what exactly is it? It was, just to clarify, it was the inaugural regatta of the King's Cup, established to raise awareness for funds for 8 charities supported by William and Kate. Good. And what happens is that the former Taoiseach, Enda Kenny, is involved. He was there with Tusk. He was participating as an ambassador of the Japanese NGO International Sports Promotion Society, which is a major financial backer of Tusk's activities. So that would explain why he was there. The NGO, it was founded by a Japanese religious leader by the name of Haruhisa Handa, and with the aim of promoting blind golf and several other sports for people with disabilities. And the other ambassadors include Padraig Harrington, who we will all know as one of the great golfers of our time. And in his role as patron and ambassador, Mr. Kenny appears at several events that promote the power of sport. Seen in royal company last July, joining Harry and Meghan at a polo match sponsored by the same place, ISPS. And that raised €1 million for children affected by HIV. That story, clarification, I should say, or at least illumination coming from the Irish Times. So that answers that question. I was dying to know, what was he doing on that boat? And now I know he's involved in that organisation, and he ended up hanging out with Bear Grylls in the high seas and winning an award from the royal family. And it's the royal family I want to turn my attention to next briefly for a number of reasons. One I might as well mention in passing is that Claire Foy played Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen, in The Crown. It's a programme I watched for a couple of episodes and then didn't really get into it. Lots of people love it and very popular. And she was good in it from the bits I saw. And now Olivia Colman is playing the Queen, which is a very different look and style, because Claire Foy, you would think, is quite elegant. Olivia Colman is more, she plays the kind of comedy bumbling turn. So that's an odd choice. But anyway, that's not really what I wanted to talk about. The Daily Telegraph newspaper, I just want to mention it briefly because it's one of those papers that we would have a sort of fractious relationship with in this country, given its opinions, not unlike the Spectator magazine. It belongs to the right, at the very least right wing of the, you know, media business. And in fairness to, I think, Irish papers, there's much more balance. The Guardian to the left, Telegraph to the right. You know what you're getting when you're reading the paper. But because Boris Johnson was a columnist for the Daily Telegraph, it has now become a kind of slightly insufferable propaganda sheet, really, for the current Prime Minister, which is a pity, because it was a paper that, while you knew its politics, it wasn't so obvious about one particular individual. But now it's really kind of degrading itself in the face of their man in Downing Street. And it's kind of feeling like the Fox News to Trump of the British media, which is a pity. But anyway, sometimes it throws up good stories and good features and so on. And one of the stories that you might have spotted yesterday and last night was Nigel Farage, who was at a Conservative Political Action Conference in Sydney. And there the Brexit Party leader was talking about the royal family. And he started in his comments by talking about Prince Charles, Charlie Boy, he referred to him, and then moved on to the Queen Mother, who's no longer alive. But his little flavour of what he had to say, beginning with Prince Charles.
He came to the European Parliament 10 years ago to tell us that within 7 years the polar ice cap would disappear completely. And at the end of his speech, I refused to stand. I just sat there like that. All I can say about the Queen and his succession is this. The Queen Mother was a chain-smoking gin drinker who did not look after herself at all and lived to 101. The Queen is 93 and looks fit. May she reign for a very long time.
Right, that's Nigel Farage speaking about the Queen Mother. But he went on to say that that Harry, he said, Prince Harry, here he was, this young, brave, boisterous, all-male, getting into trouble, turning up at stag parties, inappropriately dressed, drinking too much and causing all sorts of mayhem. And then a brave British officer who did his bit in Afghanistan. He was the most popular royal of a younger generation that we've seen for 100 years. And then, said Farage, he met Meghan Markle and it's fallen off a cliff. We've been told in the last week that Meghan and Harry will only have 2 children. So he was having a good old rant about that. And he said, Charlie Boy is now in his 70s. And as you heard them say there, may the Queen live long and prosper, in a manner of speaking. Now, a quick one on environmental story about reusable cups. Now, I have a little coffee here in front of me. It's very good coffee this morning, in fairness, but it's in a reusable cup, and I have one for the water as well. And that's not pontificating. It's just a matter of fact, getting into the swing of things, getting you feel a bit of pressure at home from people, the next generation, who are brilliant and who are very active and encouraging of older creatures like myself to get stuck in. That's great. It's gentle encouragement, and it works. And many of us, as One Piece says today, give ourselves a pat on the back for remembering the reusable coffee cup. But the average person, we're told, is not using their cup enough before forgetting about the cup or then just throwing it away, get rid of it. A reusable cup would need to be used between 20 and 100 times in order to have lower emissions from a disposable cup. So that, I think that works out, right? I definitely think we're in that bracket here. This is because more greenhouse emissions are released from making a durable product, and also because they need to be washed between uses. And despite the surge in popularity for reusable cups, they only make up for 5% of total sales. I'm surprised at the low number there. Single-use coffee cups have become emblematic of our disposable modern culture. I'm sure plenty of you listening today have one in front of you, and I often have one too, if I forget this thing. But due to a thin plastic lining, the paper recycling mills cannot process the standard coffee cups, most of which are sent to landfill or incinerated. So they just can't be recycled. Even recycling cups come with their own problems. It consumes a lot of energy, generates greenhouse gas emissions through transporting the cups to the correct facility, and can be inefficient due to contamination from incorrect disposal. Compostable cups can seem like a good alternative, but they need to be collected in special bins that are completely separate from non-compostable material. In other words, I would argue, we're still catching up with what we need to be doing. I think that's the bottom line. We're doing our best. I don't think it's a bad news story, but we're still catching up. I mentioned The Lion King yesterday, the remake of it, which I actually thoroughly enjoyed. It has seen off all competition to continue its number one reign at the Irish and UK box office. So it's doing the job there. And it is just enormously popular, pulling in big money in Ireland. Both films are now in the top 10 films. That is to say, the two Disney films, Toy Story 4 and The Lion King, are almost a 7 million euro take-in and becoming the 10th biggest film ever at the Irish box office. That's big results for them. And why not? They bring such joy to the world, to quote the song. Now, one other two bits of showbiz news. Peaky Blinders, if you're into it, great. If you're not, it's boring to even talk about it. So I won't keep this long, other than to say I'm into it. I can't wait for it to come back. And we have a date for its return, which is Sunday, the 25th of August. And it's going to feature the rise of fascism in Britain in the 1930s. Echoes of history, anyone? And it's going to be the fifth season, and it's going to be great. Cillian Murphy's soldier turned gang leader entering Parliament as an MP. Wall Street crash, rise of fascism in Europe. The creator of the programme, Stephen Knight, said parallels between then and now are fortuitous for him as a writer, but terrible for the world. Well said. Quick nod in the Irish Daily Mail. They're quoting the Radio Times magazine about their autumn season, and we'll be announcing the RT's autumn season next week. More of which next week, obviously. But there's a mention, an Irish mention in there for Sarah Green, wonderful actress from Cork, who will star in the BBC One's The Dublin Murders, which is a dark psychological thriller, a Tony and Olivier Award nominee. Miss Green is a seasoned stage actress and appeared in the US TV show Penny Dreadful, largely filmed in Dublin. So that's great to see her there as one of the stars of the autumn in the UK. So I always love to fly the flag for our own whenever they get the appropriate mention. There was a brilliant, really excellent drama I was watching on Channel 4 over the last number of weeks called, it's an I Am series, I Am dot dot dot, and three women's stories told in the course of three pretty much 45-minute episodes, perfectly done. And one is in, there's no point in me trying to go through each episode, other than to say to you, the acting is knockout. The writing is, there's a lot of ad lib. It felt like watching a Mike Lee film, but a short version of it. It's powerful in the to the point that it would bring a tear to your eye. And it's also universal in that you could nearly feel you'd feel great empathy for the person as being like somebody you probably pass by in the street or sit beside on the bus. There's something very becoming about it in terms of the humanity in the story, the I Am series. And one of them featured a girl dancing to this song on her own, having a bottle of wine. And this was the I Am Hannah, which was the last one. The first one was I Am Nicola, and then I Am Kirsty, and I Am Hannah. But it was a song that jumped out. I said I'll play that this morning, which we're going to do. But before I do that, let me read this text that says, "The Great Hack," this is the documentary I was talking about Data, "is about propaganda and the subversion of democracy in our time. It's really important." Do you know what? I agree with you. I just wish they told it in a more clear and, bottom line, more engaging way. And that's the difficulty. Talking about sailing, you ought to listen to last Sunday's Doc on One about the Fastnet disaster 40 years ago. Terrific documentary, which painted the picture very, very well. I will definitely give that a listen, because when I'm going for my walks, as I often do by the sea, it would be quite the programme to listen to in that regard. So thank you indeed for that. The text number is open for business this Tuesday morning. 51551 is the text number. The time now, 19 minutes past 9.